This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm, so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is August 8th, 2024, and we're back after 1 week off. I was on vacation. I went to the beach. I had a lovely time. I got tan, which is always most important to me because I'm a pale girl, and like, I don't have a pool or a beach or anything I could go to where I live, and if I'm outside tanning, I need to be by some water because I don't like being hot, so I got that done. And I had a great time, so we are back and ready to record now. I talk more about my vacation on Patreon for the people who care and want to check that out, but I know not everyone cares, so I'll leave it at that. What have you been up to? Anything exciting going on? What's the weather update?
So weather update, it is gray today, but it's been really nice. Like, it's getting lighter in the mornings and lighter in the evenings, like beautiful, sunny, kind of warmish days. Like, you just need a t-shirt if it's sunny. So yeah, it's quite pleasant, really. It's like, I feel like the depths of winter here of June and July. So August is nearly the end. We're nearly at the end, which is exciting. Not too much else happening for me anyway. Just same old boring. I, you know, worked, didn't have the week off, so I was jealous of your time off. But you know, eventually coming back to life after winter, I think.
Yeah. Well, as we discovered, you get way more time off in Australia than me being worked to death in the United States. It always makes me so mad when I see how much like PTO and stuff other people get in other countries, and I'm like, oh wow, I really am just a victim of capitalism.
Yeah, so here in Australia, and I know that most of our listeners are American, so maybe this will be of interest, but
you're just gonna piss everyone off, don't tell them.
If you're a full-time employee here, you are generally entitled to 20 annual leave days per year, which is holiday days, and then you will also get another 10, which I guess is the same as your PTO. Like, at my job they call them personal leave, which can be used for sick days or if you've got a sick kid, or if you, like, basically anything that isn't a holiday you can use them for. So you get 10 extra days. And then also,
and you say holiday, but it's like vacation, because for us, some people might think holiday is like Christmas.
Oh, no. So that they're, then they're on top. So that is on. So 20 days is you can use them whenever and however you want, obviously, you know, in accordance with your job. But then we call them public holidays, which is Christmas and that. They're also on top. So I know we must get probably 10 of those a year. I'm just guessing. But like because we get Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Australia Day, Easter. There's two at Easter.
So those are
separate. A whole bunch. Yeah, so they're separate. So it's probably 30 vacation days, including the holidays, public holidays, all up, I would guess.
And then plus you get 10 days. Sick.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I don't know if it depends on your job, but like also at my job, for example, bereavement leave is another type of leave. So if you need to go to a funeral, you don't need to use your personal leave for that. It's actually a type of leave called bereavement leave. But I don't know if that is the same for everyone, but definitely vacation and sick leave are the same for everyone as a law in Australia.
I get, which I know is kind of like the average minimum that a lot of people get. I get 2 weeks vacation and 1 week sick, but it's basically just I get 3 weeks PTO, so it's like 15 days, which is fucking nothing. And I'm going to ask, it came up, we were talking about it because I said next year I'll be at my job for 5 years and I'm going to tell my boss I want one more week of PTO as a 5 year present for being an amazing superstar employee.
What are you doing? Cut it out.
I just looked it up and there's actually 11 public holidays. So that's your Christmases and all that. So you get 31 vacation holiday days a year in our state, which that's a full-time worker. So it's obviously not everyone if you don't work full-time, but that's,
well, I'm a full-time worker.
Bad. Yeah.
And we get a good amount of holidays if you're in school or something, but a lot of jobs, they like won't give you off. I'm like drawing a blank on all holidays. Like we get off for Labor Day, Memorial Day, Christmas, New Year's. Just like the big like holidays, but there's so many little ones.
You have 11 annual federal holidays as well. So I don't
but know. We don't get all of the so Juneteenth, just at the top of my head, is a new one. So like people get off from schools, like banks close, state jobs don't work, but like I still have to work. So we don't get off all of them. I'd say I probably get like 5 actual holidays.
It's crazy.
But, you know, sometimes my boss is nice and gives us off like Christmas Eve or like an extra day after the holiday weekend. But yeah, I'm
just like,
yeah,
because Christmas happens at summer. So everything basically shuts down over Christmas. Like a lot of workplaces will make you take off from like the 23rd, obviously, depending on the days of the week.
That's what I wish we had.
Generally from like the 23rd to at least the 2nd will everything like most things will shut down. Like my job shuts down for two-ish weeks over Christmas. But yeah, like a lot of the places.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of other countries like basically close up business from Christmas to New Year's at least. Mm. But not me. I'll be at work doing nothing because it's not busy either. So yeah.
Fun times.
Life's so fun. So I guess we'll get into it. One thing I want to talk about super briefly, which is old news now, but I just thought of it and it annoyed me. And I don't have an article up about it or anything, so don't expect any dates or facts. I can already see people being like, come on. But it doesn't really matter. We posted on our Instagram. It was either while I was on vacation or like right before I went on vacation that Asa, so Rex Huerman, the alleged Long Island serial killer, his alleged going to be ex-wife who filed for divorce clearly is still supporting him because she showed up at his last hearing with their family dog, who is apparently their son's support dog because their son does have a disability, but the son wasn't there. Was bringing the dog to court, still wearing her wedding ring, like clearly still supporting him. And she's still like, I'll save my judgment for when the trial's over. I stood up for this woman. And now I look like a fool.
Like, we had so many questions. Why has she got the dog? It makes sense if it's a support dog or a service
but
dog.
But not for her.
No.
I think she's bringing the dog hoping that, like, to the dog Rex, or yeah. Rex could see the dog. And I think that she just is filing for divorce now to protect the assets because – and this is what they're going to have to look into. I think we've talked about this because she's doing, like, a documentary with Peacock or something. And so she filed for divorce. She's definitely getting paid from this documentary. what if they don't get divorced in the end or something? Like, I'm sure he'll be in jail because he's most, I'll say most likely, because like that's what you're supposed to say, guilty. But like, how are you going to still support this man with that crazy document found on his computer and like your hair found on these girls' bodies? Disgusting behavior.
Like, imagine even what he's put her through. Like, you know, we don't know if she knew about it. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But for what he's put her through, I just can't. I would never stand by someone who has done that to me. And I know it's all alleged and he needs to go to trial, but there seems like there's a lot of evidence. I would absolutely not be out there taking the dog to see him in court and wearing my wedding ring out in public.
Yeah, it's one thing if she was still quietly unsure what to do, but it's like, this is too much. You're putting it in our faces now, and yeah. I feel stupid. While I'm still like, I felt bad about the reporters like showing up to their house like right after and all that, but it's just too much at this point.
It just is unnecessary. And do you know what? It's also gross towards the victims as well. Yeah, like, it's just families. Flaunting. Like, look at me. I've got these camera crews following me around. Like, I understand she has to make money. Rex was the breadwinner. I get all that. But I just feel like it's been gross and tacky.
Like, bringing the dog?
Yeah.
Insane. The dog to court? Yeah, so I just had to say that. That annoyed me. I feel like I was going to say, oh, and I did want to say, I still personally, a lot of people are like, she definitely knew. I personally still don't think she did. Again, I don't think the daughter did that was accused by that crazy attorney. I don't think they necessarily knew anything. I think that Asa just, if anything, turned a blind eye to it and ignored a lot of red flags. I suspect she seemed very bright.
She at least knew that Rex was like a sexual deviant and a creep, yeah. And she just let him go and do his own thing. I'm also not entirely sure that she knew about the murders. I wouldn't be surprised if she maybe had an inkling, but just kind of turned a blind eye. But
Like, I don't think he was coming home and she was high-fiving him for murdering people like some people think.
Yeah.
But I just think it was more blissful, chosen ignorance.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just had to say that because anytime I see her up to something, I get mad because I'm like, I defended you. Another little update, not really an update, but the episode we just did, we talked about the influencer Taylor Frankie Paul. She was the Mormon with the soft swinging scandal, and then there's some domestic violence involved. There is actually going to be a Hulu docuseries about that whole thing, called The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. So it's going to be 6 parts and set to premiere on Hulu in September, and it will chronicle how a scandalous world of a group of Mormon mom influencers implodes when they get caught in the midst of a swinging scandal. It says now their sisterhood is shook to its core, faith, friendship, and reputations are all on the line. Will hashtag mom talk be able to survive and continue to give the rule book a run for its money, or will this group fall from grace? So I wish I could say differently, but I'm 100% going to watch that.
I've seen some of the trailers, and like in one, she's crying and she's got like mascara under her eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, when you said 6 parts, I'm like, is this going to be hour long? So like 6 hours, what can they possibly talk about for 6 hours? But I don't know. I'm still on the fence about if I will watch or not, because I find her absolutely nauseating, but maybe we'll see. Probably I will watch.
What's sad is because when we were doing the research, and then when I was editing the episode, not to go off on like too much of a tangent, I was seeing more clips from like this specific era before they happened, because now if you look at their TikToks, it's so long ago that it's harder to see those. But I was seeing them from when they became popular before the scandal came out, and I was like, they're all insufferable. They're all just dancing videos. It's like, we get it. You're all hot Mormon moms that can do little dances that look like you have these like wholesome, beautiful lives of all being hot and gorgeous and put together with the best lives for your children. We get it. And it's annoying. So if anything, even though I don't necessarily agree with whatever happened with her at the domestic violence situation, I'm like, you know what? Respect to Taylor Frankie Paul for like being the realist and being like, you know what? We're not all fucking perfect. But again, I do think it's all like, they're still annoying, but little respect to her.
I find the timing kind of interesting too, because her kids are still pretty young. So I wonder if she would be in a show about her swinging sex lifestyle if they were older, old enough to be embarrassed yet. anyway, maybe she, I guess, you know, her reasoning would be that she's providing for the children through the money from the show or whatever, but it's like, I just think, God, if that was me, I would want to put that all behind me and not be publicizing it, but I guess it's out there. She might as well make some money off it.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of them are seemingly great people. Please don't come after me.
And so just before we get into the episode, there is one little update on the Lauren Dickerson case. She was the mother who murdered her three daughters in New Zealand. We did a whole episode on her, and we also spoke recently about her sentence. She was sentenced to 18 years, but she would be eligible after she'd only served a third of the sentence, which seems very, very short for someone who murdered their three children. But anyway, even though she may be eligible after that short amount of time, she has announced, or her legal team have announced, that she will be appealing the conviction. I'm just like, really?
I feel like she didn't even get that bad of a deal.
No, absolutely not. For the murder of three children, that, like, heinous, horrific murder. The children knew what was happening when she did it. She could get out after 6 years, but she's still going to appeal. There isn't much other information yet. No date has been set for the appeal, but it was announced this week that she will be appealing.
I'm just like, shut your mouth and take your punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad.
And even she, like, when it was, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember the exact terminology she used, but basically when she was sentenced, she said that she was grateful to the judge for recognizing that mental health played a role, because essentially if it hadn't, she probably would have been sentenced to a much longer
life
term. So she said at the time she basically acknowledged it and was grateful that the judge had taken it into account, but clearly not so much.
Yeah, now she's like, I take that back.
Yeah. And I just think, gosh, this is like, this will probably drag out for another, you know, let's say 2 years, the whole appeal process. Mm-hmm. Then she could have been out in 4 years. Like, we also had a debate when we mentioned it, if she would get out after 6 years, maybe she wouldn't. So I don't know. I guess you've got nothing to lose by appealing. You might as well.
Yeah, true.
This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it. Yourself. Go to Wix.com. You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
All right, so that's all the updates we have for right now. Today we're going to talk about, I keep wanting to say hot car deaths, but that's like the main one that we're going to talk about. But generally we're going to talk about some heat-related deaths of small children, babies. One being a big one that I think a lot of people would know about, the death of Cooper Harris. I feel like this was like the first like really big one in the media, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure there was others, but I don't know. I think this is the one that everyone thinks of if you had to think of one. His father, Justin Ross Harris. I don't know if it was just because it had so much kind of like controversy surrounding it. And then the second one we're going to briefly talk about, because there's not a ton of information yet, but this is the one that kind of reminded us of this topic, was the baby who was 4 months old, Tana Rae Robleski. She, on July 4th, her parents, Alyssa and Matthew, brought her out on a boat in like 121 degree temperatures, and they were swimming in the water and left the baby on the boat, who then ended up dying from heat-related illness. So that pissed off a lot of people, because they also made a GoFundMe for money. So,
and that, yeah, that one isn't a crime yet, but it is being investigated, and there's been a lot of debate and discussion about it online, and because essentially it is a neglectful death, but yeah, still under investigation.
Yeah, not officially a crime yet. Hello, peep. Cute. I've got a lot to say. So we're going to start with Cooper Harris. He was 22 months old when he died on June 18th, 2014, and this happened in Georgia. His father is Justin Ross Harris, and he left him in a vehicle for 7 hours. So Justin, in the end, was found guilty of malice murder and felony murder.
We're going to turn now to shocking new details in the case of that Georgia father, now charged with murder. After leaving his toddler in a blistering hot car, he claims it was an accident, but there is evidence this morning about online searches from both parents. It's raising questions, and ABC's Steve Osunsami has more, and we should warn you, this is a difficult story.
This morning, an unbelievable twist in the story of two Georgia parents whose 22-month-old son died of heat stroke, forgotten in a hot car. Police are now saying that both the boy's mother and father searched the internet for information on children dying in hot cars before their son died. Georgia police say that 33-year-old Justin Ross Harris told them he strapped his son Cooper into a rear-facing car seat on June 18th. He was supposed to drop him off at daycare on his way to work. But 7 hours later, on that 90-degree day, he said he noticed his lifeless son in the back seat. Witnesses say he was desperately trying to revive him.
Kept saying, what have I done? What have I done?
Georgia police immediately arrested Harris. Charged with murder and second-degree child cruelty, he is due in court on Thursday. He's already pleaded not guilty.
If he deliberately forgot his child, may God have mercy on him.
According to this search warrant obtained by ABC News, Harris researched through the internet child deaths inside vehicles and what temperature it needs to be for that to occur. Police say he explained it was because he was fearful that this could happen.
And he was recently released from prison, actually, so we'll get into all that since he was released from prison, kind of under, like, a technicality almost, in a way, or it was, like, appealed. It was a big mess that a lot of people were mad about, so we got a lot of requests to talk about this one.
I feel like the release, too, kind of happened quickly. Like, obviously, there was a legal process behind it, but when we posted that he was out, everyone's like, what? Like, no one actually realized that he could have been getting out, and then he was just out, so...
Yeah, it did seem like it came out of nowhere, but I mean, I guess it didn't. So some background for those who don't know, Justin is known as Ross in a lot of articles. He was born in 1980 and he worked as a police dispatcher in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Then in 2012, he graduated from University of Alabama with a bachelor's degree in commerce and business administration. And after graduation, he moved to Georgia and worked for Home Depot as a web developer. Since a lot of articles refer to him as Ross, I guess that's what he went by. I will just call him Ross. Ross married a woman named Liana Taylor, and we believe that they got married probably around sometime in 2008. And she said that 2 years after they were married, they were no longer connecting in the bedroom. And then 2 years after that, she discovered that Ross had been texting other women, had been sexting, not just texting, other women. And he continued to do that for another 4 years, basically their whole relationship. Liana said that when she found out about the sexting, her reaction wasn't very good and that she acted very upset and burst out crying. I think it's a very reasonable reaction.
Absolutely.
She, up until the very end, seems almost like a a Ross apologist in a way. Like, she's one of those people where you just want to shake and be like, leave this man. She also said, it did a lot of damage to our ability to connect intimately, in my opinion. Liana said they discovered that Ross had low testosterone and found it hard to perform sexually. She said she initially blamed herself for that, and they regularly went to couples counseling, and they went to a small group of couples that they met through their church to try to work through their issues. Ross told some of the women that he was sexting with that he was cheating on his wife because of a self-diagnosed sex addiction, and that he and Liana weren't sexually compatible. But despite these issues, they began trying to get pregnant, as one does, in February 2011. It took them a while to conceive, so they even went through some medical testing. But on Ross's birthday in November 2011, Liana found out that she was pregnant with Cooper, who was born on August 2nd, 2012. So this info about Cooper is from his obituary, but just a little bit about him. Says he was a happy baby. He loved to speak with anyone and made impacts on many people's lives in a short time. Cooper loved trucks and cars and often told them bye as we left parking lots. That's so cute. He just learned the color red, and as we passed red vehicles, he would tell his mommy and his daddy, bye red car, bye red truck. He was a joy and he'll always be cherished. Aww. So having a child, of course, did not fix Ross and Liana's relationship. And in 2013, Liana picked up Ross's phone to check the time and saw a notification with a message from another woman. She told Ross that if he wanted a divorce, she would agree to it. She said he was very concerned that I was going to leave him, very concerned that I was going to take Cooper. The morning of the incident was June 18th, 2014, which was a Wednesday. And the plan was for Ross to take Cooper to daycare on his way to work. And I think this was something that he didn't always do, which was ended up being like a defense argument in the end, right?
Yeah. I didn't read much about that, but I feel like I have heard that this was kind of out like, of character. Like it was out of his normal routine. Day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just before 9 a.m., Ross and Cooper had breakfast at Chick-fil-A that was only like a mile from where Ross worked. And this part is important to me in the scheme of things, so I'll just point that out. And Cooper was seen on CCTV there, and he was said to be wide awake and happy. Ross then drove his Hyundai Tucson SUV to Home Depot where he worked, and Cooper was strapped into a rear-facing car seat in the back. So I've also seen people online say that Cooper was old enough to be in like a front-facing seat and was in a front-facing seat, but recently Ross had decided to turn it back around to like how a smaller baby would have it or whatever.
Yeah, there is a lot of debate, I know, about rear and front-facing. So like I feel like he wasn't too, so he could have still been rear-facing, but he also could have been front-facing, so...
A lot of you have asked that question. I had thought myself, why is a 22-month-old in a rear-facing car seat? Well, I'm looking online right here, and it's saying just that, that there's new guidelines that say keep a child in a rear-facing car seat until age two, so it's not beyond the pale. And we're also finding out that Cooper Harris's parents did buy a front-facing car seat within 6 weeks of his death, but they had reverted back to the rear-facing car seat. So we're taking all this information in, but there's one other thing to note that we found out in testimony, that little Cooper was probably too big for the specific seat that he was in on the day of his death. So a lot of curious points coming out of that.
And I saw people say online also that the drive from Chick-fil-A to where he worked at Home Depot, it was only like a 2-minute drive.
Yeah, well, 1 mile. So it's not enough time, for instance, for Cooper probably to fall asleep, which, you know, if he was quiet, like he could have still been quiet, but he definitely wasn't asleep. And to be drive a mile, it's unbelievable that someone could forget a child was in the car.
Yeah, exactly. How are you going to forget that your kid is in the car after 1 mile? But we'll get to that in the end. Jumping ahead. So Ross got out of the car and entered the office at 9:25 a.m. while Cooper remained in the car. Liana texted Ross that morning and said, get to work okay? And he said, yep, we're going to go to the early movie, so I should be home close to 7. And that's him telling that he's going to the movies with his friends after work. At 12:30, Ross was picked up by two of his friends and they went to lunch at a nearby Publix. They then went to a nearby Home Depot where Ross purchased light bulbs, before his friends dropped him back off at his job. Ross then went to his car and opened the driver's side of the SUV and put the bulbs inside the car and then shut the door. So he didn't get like in the car or anything like that. He just opened it and tossed them inside. And also, if anyone's confused, because I said he works at Home Depot, but then he also went to Home Depot to buy light bulbs. I think since he was like a web developer, he probably didn't work at an actual Home Depot. It's probably more like an office building is my guess. So by 1 p.m., the temperature inside the car where Cooper was trapped had risen to over 100 degrees because it was sitting in direct sunlight. And by 3:30, the car was said to be 125 degrees where the car seat was.
There's some photos that have been released of the car kind of sitting in the parking lot. And there's some other cars, like there's no cars parked near it, like so no one would have driven up and seen the baby. And there are other cars in the lot that are parked like next to other cars, if that makes
sense.
But his car was parked, yeah, his car was parked alone, solo. There's literally no cars parked near it.
Yeah, and backed in, which I feel like would make it a little harder. I'd love to know, I'm sure like this all went into the trial and stuff and people who are actually investigating, but like where did he normally park? Did he always back into parking spaces? Like was that weird for him to do? So at 3:16, Ross texted Liana and said, "When are you going to get my buddy?" As in like pick up from daycare. So at 4:16, around 7 hours after he first left the car, Ross finished up work and went back to the car. Like I said, he had plans to see a movie with his friends. He was going to see 22 Jump Street after work. Is it 21 Jump Street?
No, 22 is the second one with Jonah Hill. I don't know if he was in the first one too, but there was definitely 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
So Ross drove for a few minutes after getting into the car, and at 4:23, he stopped in the parking lot of a shopping center, and witnesses reported hearing squealing tires and a man screaming, "What have I done?" So Ross jumped out of the vehicle and left the driver's side door open. He rushed and got Cooper out of the back seat. Bystanders rushed to help and started CPR on Cooper. Police and firefighters were patrolling the area and arrived within a few seconds of the 911 call. And by 4:58, Cobb County Police spokesperson Officer Mike Bowman confirmed that Cooper had been pronounced dead. Ross was handcuffed and placed into the back of the patrol car because he started cursing at officers. Ross was apparently not the one to call 911, but he called someone else to tell them that Cooper was dead. When an officer told him to get off the phone, he refused and said, fuck you, before the officer took his phone and then put him in handcuffs. So Ross told police that he had forgotten that Cooper was still in his car seat. Temperatures that day reached to 92 degrees Fahrenheit or 33 degrees Celsius. So you can only imagine how hot it got in that car if it was that hot outside in the direct sunlight. It was estimated by noon that Cooper was dead. At 10 p.m. that night, Ross was charged with murder and was booked into Cobb County Jail. Liana has spoken about the day. She said that she went to pick up Cooper at daycare and he wasn't signed in. She said sometimes that happened even though he was there. But when she found out that he wasn't actually there, she said, I just kind of went into a panic. She added that she thought at the time Ross must have left him in the car. That's the only thing that could have made sense. Ross and Liana met in an interview room after Cooper's death at the police station. Ross told her that Cooper, quote, looked peaceful and that his eyes were closed when he was removed from the vehicle. He told his wife, I dreaded how he would look. And some people say, note the past tense. This whole thing is just weird to me. I get maybe he was saying that Cooper looked peaceful to try to just make her feel better and saying, like, I dreaded how he would look. I feel like, because at first I was like, well, he's in a rear-facing car seat. Maybe he realized, like, oh my God, Cooper's still in the car. He's definitely dead, and dreading how he would look dead. But I feel like that has to happen so fast. That is not what you're thinking of in those 2 seconds of rushing to the back of the car. I don't know. It just seemed a little weird.
No, I feel like you first thought it would be, oh my God, I need to get him out. I need to get him out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be thinking shit, he's going to look bad.
Yeah. You wouldn't even be thinking about that he's definitely dead. You'd just be like, holy shit, I need to get him out of the car. I don't know. It just seemed like a weird thing to say.
And I guess it kind of indicates that maybe he had thought about what he was going to say and, you know, he knew that he'd let, like, this is implying that basically he had a plan. He left Cooper in the car but it's still your son. You'd be like, I really didn't want to look. I didn't want to see what he would look like. But that implies a lot of prior thought to me.
Yeah. And while I know I've been making comments throughout, I still go back and forth on this one. I lean more towards that he did do it on purpose, but sometimes I am like, I don't know, maybe he's just a idiot loser trash bag asshole that was
hooligan
to in the end. Yeah, but just when I make comments, like, my mind isn't totally set on that he did it on purpose. Sometimes I like to say something snarky. So back to that, how he said that Cooper looked peaceful and his eyes were closed when he was taken from the vehicle. The detective actually said that Cooper's eyes and mouth were not closed when he was taken out of the SUV. I did see other things say while I was reading that he was also covered in urine, like his diaper was full of urine. So it's also just kind of unbelievable to me that he got in the car and drove for any amount of time without realizing immediately with the smell and all that. But yeah. At another point in the interview room, Liana asked Ross about what he'd said to police. She asked him, this is a quote from the detective. So the detective said, she had him sit down and he starts going through this and she looks at him and she's like, well, did you say too much? So that's also weird. Like, what do you mean? An autopsy showed Cooper died of hyperthermia, which is heat, not hypothermia is cold, hyperthermia is heat. He would have likely suffered nausea, headaches, anxiety, and possibly seizures, a medical examiner said at the trial. And Cooper likely struggled as he became more uncomfortable because he had small abrasions on his head and his hands and feet. That was likely caused from, like, painful rubbing against hot parts of the car seat. I also saw that they think that he was kind of like digging at his eyes and face, which is something that people do when they're experiencing hyperthermia. So it's just a horrible, horrible way to die for anyone, especially a small baby child who doesn't understand what's happening. So toxicology report showed that Cooper didn't have any drugs or chemicals in his system when he died either. His funeral was held on June 28th, 2014. And by phone from jail, Ross thanked his family and friends for standing by him. Liana spoke at the funeral and said, Cooper's in the most wonderful, peaceful place there is. On August 8th, 2014, Liana stated in a crime victim report that she believes Ross was innocent and that he was a wonderful father. She said, am I angry with Ross? Absolutely not. It has never crossed my mind. Ross is and was and will be, if we have more children, a wonderful father. Ross is a wonderful daddy and leader for our household. Cooper meant the world to him. On September 4th, 2014, Ross was charged with malice murder, two counts of felony murder, cruelty to children in the first and second degree, criminal attempt to commit a felony, and dissemination of harmful material to minors. So clearly some other things are mixed in there that we're going to find out along the way. So later that month, Cobb County District Attorney Vic Reynolds announced that the prosecution wouldn't seek the death penalty. And October 13, 2014, Ross pleaded not guilty to all the charges. The investigation into Cooper's death focused a lot on Ross's affairs. Police discovered that while Cooper was dying in the car, Ross had been sexting with six different people, including one that was underage. Ross also visited a Reddit page called Child Free and read four articles and allegedly searched how to survive in prison. And that's something that is a little contested during the trial. There's more to that. This is one of those cases where there's a lot of media spin and media bias about certain things. So there is a little bit more to that, but we'll get into that when it actually comes out during the trial. So police also looked at the internet history of Ross and Liana. Both of them had Googled car deaths and how they occurred prior to Cooper's deaths. And 5 days before Cooper died, Ross twice viewed some sort of homemade PSA in which a veterinarian demonstrates on video the dangers of leaving someone or something inside a hot car. Liana told police that she'd recently seen a story on a state initiative aimed at reminding people not to leave children in cars and that it was one of her fears. Ross's explanation was that he recently researched through the internet child deaths inside vehicles and what temperature it needs to be for that to occur. He said that he was researching that because he was so fearful that this could happen. During questioning, Liana, quote, made similar statements regarding researching car deaths, how it occurs. While I was reading this, I was thinking, like, two people who seem to be so fearful that are both researching this quite a lot, you'd think that they would have been, like, a little more, or think that Ross would have been more aware with his one-mile drive.
Not like he's never heard of it before. He was quite aware of how these things happen, and it still somehow happened to him.
Yeah. So regarding the phone calls that Ross made after Cooper died in the parking lot, he told police he couldn't reach anyone on his phone, but phone records show that he made three calls after he discovered his son's body, and one between him and his employer lasted 6 minutes. And I was trying to think about this, like, I don't know if it was, like, in that moment, saying he really didn't do it or something, and you're really just, like, wound up. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's kind of the same with Moscow, too, that people are always like, why didn't they call 911 immediately? I'm like, if I found someone and I knew that they were definitely dead and you're just, like, freaking out, I still feel like my instinct might be to, like, call my mom first, like, in a panic, you know? Like, someone – but not my employer. Like, your employer is kind of weird.
I feel like that would be the last person I'd call.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the last person I'd call. But I don't know. Like, I understand sometimes people under stress, you just, like, want to call someone to help you. And you're just not thinking clearly. But I do think it's weird that he called his boss first for 6 minutes.
I guess, and I'm not sticking up for him because I think he's a rubbish person. But I guess the employer was only a mile away. So maybe he's like, come and help me. You know, this
or maybe
happened.
He's closer.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you call your wife first?
Yeah.
Or something? I don't know. Yeah, so I still think that's weird, regardless of me being understanding in some sense. So police also discovered that Ross had been worried about losing his job. They found that text between him and Liana that indicated that they were having some financial troubles and he recently had been passed over for a promotion. Couple had two life insurance policies out on Cooper, one for $2,000 and one for $25,000. Is that weird? Like, I have no idea. Like, do people have life insurance policies on their kids?
I don't know. I don't, but like, I understand why people do, because if something were to happen with the child, you need to pay for a funeral and So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some people will let us know. I have no idea if it's weird or not. So the pretrial hearings began in September 2015. And then in October 2015, Judge Staley said that online chats that Ross had with other women would be admissible in court. And prosecutors claim that in those chats, Ross told women that he would leave his wife if not for their son. In one of those chats, held on the morning that Cooper was last alive, Ross posted, "I love my son and all, but we both need escapes." The police say that this could have been his motive to kill.
So despite Liana initially saying what a great father Ross was, and she kind of indicated that she wanted to have more children with him, before the trial started and in February 2016, she filed for divorce from him. On March 4th, 2016, 8 new charges were filed against him, including 2 counts of sexual exploitation of children and 6 of disseminating harmful material to a minor. So this is all in regards, I believe, to the sexting that he was carrying on with. So jury selection began on April 11th, 2016. 239 people were summoned as possible jurors, and selection ran for 2 weeks. The overwhelming majority of the prospective jurors said that they thought Ross was guilty, and several expressed statements of disgust towards him, including saying that he needed to rot in hell and he needed to go down. By April 29th that year, 41 prospective jurors had been qualified, but Ross's defense team requested a change of venue for the trial. In May, Judge Staley granted the request. She said that she had witnessed firsthand the pervasive bias against Ross and that trying the case in Cobb County would not be just. So they moved the trial to Brunswick, and that was scheduled for September 21, 2016. Jury selection restarted in September, and by October 3, 6 men and 6 women had been selected as jurors, and the trial finally got underway. So prosecutors alleged that Ross intentionally left Cooper in the car in order to have affairs and sexual relationships. During the trial, the prosecution called 51 witnesses and the defense called 18 witnesses. At the trial, Brett Gallimore, who's a police officer, testified that Ross did not cry when Cooper died. So this is the officer who kind of attended the scene when Ross discovered that Cooper was dead. He said that he felt Ross was feigning grief, and this is the same officer that Ross told to fuck off after he was on the phone. One witness testified that he took over performing CPR after he observed that Ross was, quote, fumbling around and improperly performing CPR. The witness said he knew Cooper was dead, and he compared his attempts at breath support to blowing into a busted bag. So it's kind of a moot point, really, because the witness is saying that Ross was doing it wrong, but it was very, very clear that Cooper had already passed away.
Yeah. Again, I can understand why people might, like, doing CPR like that is probably really traumatic when you know the person, your loved one, is dead also.
And especially when you were saying earlier how Cooper had been clawing out his face and eyes, I'm assuming there was probably body fluids kind of out of his nose and his mouth, and maybe his ears. Like, it would have been horrendous. Mm-hmm. This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
So during the trial, the light bulb purchase was also discussed. Detectives originally thought that Ross must have seen Cooper at the time as he put the light bulbs in the vehicle, but they looked at CCTV and it showed that Ross did not put his head inside the car and his eyeline remained above the car's roof the whole time. So he literally opened the door, threw the bag in or the box or whatever, and shut the door. So he didn't look in the car. By that point, probably Cooper was already dead anyway, so likely not making any noise, but that was kind of investigated during the trial. They also spoke about the use of Reddit by Ross and him going on the child-free subreddit. A friend of Ross's testified and said that he'd sent the link to him as a joke. Ross apparently clicked on the site and quickly wrote back to the friend, grossness, which goes a little bit against what, because apparently he looked at the 4, you know, subreddits or 4 threads or whatever on there, but that was the what was testified in trial.
I guess it was like a group message and one of them sent it, and it says that he looked at something, he looked at like 4 things on it that didn't really seem like that relevant because it's a subreddit about just like not having kids. It's not like about murdering kids. but yeah, I mean, it can be twisted either way, I think.
Yeah. So Liana did testify in court. She had by this point divorced Ross. She did say that even though they were divorced, she thought Ross would never intentionally hurt Cooper. She also said, "He destroyed my life. I'm humiliated. I may never trust anyone again. And if I never see him again after today, it's fine with me." So she was obviously still very rightfully angry and hurt by him, but she did reiterate that she didn't think he had intentionally done anything to Cooper. Many of the women that Ross communicated or had sex with appeared in court. The prosecution ran through his sexting. They showed many photos of his penis that he'd sent to women in court. A woman called Janie Meadows testified. She had been a teenager at the time that Cooper died and that she had been in some type of, quote, relationship with Ross. She said that he said if his situation had been different, he would have been with me instead of her. He apparently said, if Cooper wasn't in the picture, I probably would have left by now. So Janie and Ross had met when she was 18 on a dating app called Scout, and they'd met in 2013. She said she didn't know his real age at first. She said that Ross told her that Liana caught him cheating on her and that his marriage was falling apart. She told the court, "I had a really bad breakup and Ross just kind of showed up at the time that I needed." Ross told Janie that he was single at first. He pressed with her to meet him, but she was sketched out. But they did eventually meet a few months later in a store where she worked and they kissed. She said it didn't go any further, though he told her that he loved her. She eventually found out that he was married after they played a game of two lies and a truth. And he told her he was married and he had a child. And he also told her his real age. She said, "I was taken aback by it." She said, despite this, they still talked and texted at length nearly every day, and she said, "I fell in love with him. He told me he loved me every day." The jury also heard from a woman named Molly Sims. Molly had been 18 when she met him on the Scout site. She knew that he was married. She said they never met, but they texted through that site and Kick. She said, "We talked about everyday things, but it would get sexual sometimes. He would change the subject to make it sexual." She also said they exchanged nude photos. The relationship ended when she found a boyfriend 2 years later. Another female, Elizabeth Smith, also testified. She said that she had had sex with Ross in his car in the parking lot just off the interstate. Classy and lovely. She was 21 when she met Ross on Kick in January 2014, and they chatted nearly every day. She said they only met face-to-face once, which was, I guess, for the sexual encounter, but they texted every day right up until the day that Cooper died. Ross told her that he had problems in the bedroom with Liana. Before sunrise on the day that Cooper died, Ross texted Elizabeth and suggested they meet for oral sex. He asked if she could meet him later that day. The defense attorney asked, "Did he ever tell you that his child was going to be in the car?" And she said no. Another woman named Alexandra Swindle said that she was 18 when she met Ross online in 2012. His online name was Bama XH. She said that he never mentioned he was married or that he had a child. She told the court how Ross had picked her up in a dorm room and took her to a park area where they talked and kissed, and then she performed oral sex on him. She said they never met again, but they continued to chat and text for a few months before the relationship just kind of faded away. She did say that she had rekindled her relationship with Ross several weeks before Cooper died and that all their conversations were sexual in nature. The day that Cooper died, she texted Ross and said that she wanted to have sex with him again. An investigator also told the court that Ross texted an unidentified woman on a social app called Whisper on the day that Cooper died, and that he told the woman that his son was awesome. He said that Cooper had woken him up at 5:30 a.m. that morning, and he wrote to the woman, "I have a son. I'm going to get up early. Ha ha, gotta love kids."
Are all these shady apps also?
I know. I haven't even heard of Whisper. I've heard of Kick.
Me neither.
And I haven't heard of Scout either. But
Kick is just like, used to be messaging that was like popular back then that never really caught on. But like Whisper, what is that?
So Ross did tell that woman that Cooper was 2, and the woman wrote, "What a great age." And Ross replied back, "He's awesome." So he was telling some women about the child, other women not. Maybe this woman also had children. We don't really know much else. But I guess he kind of gave the information when he wanted to and held it back when it suited him. Another woman called Caitlin Hickey Floyd also testified. She met Ross on Whisper. She was single at the time and he told her he was married. She said, "I asked if he had a conscience and he said no. He never said he had a child to her." A few days before Cooper died, Ross texted her, "I am so horny and I'm too much of a sexual freak." On the day that Cooper died, Ross was texting Caitlin. He asked to see photos of the woman naked. He said, "Can I see your tits?" She sent him a photo of her breasts and Ross replied, I asked if he wanted to play with him. He said, "Fuck yes, I do." So this is all happening while Cooper is dying in the car.
He's disgusting.
Another woman named Daniela Dorr, who was a former sex worker, told the court that Ross had sex with her 3 times in the weeks before his son died. I don't know how he had all this time either. Working, meant to be a father, meant to be a husband. Where is he finding all this time to have sex with all these random women?
Yeah.
He had apparently contacted her after finding an ad that listed her services. This made me laugh because
I love that surprising. She threw this in.
She said he had no presence. He was just dumpy. It was vanilla sex. He looks dumpy. Like that's a word I would absolutely use to describe him. Dumpy. He's creep.
Very like Josh Duggar.
Yeah. So that was a lot of the testimony about the women. Then they brought in Dr. Jean Brewer, who's a psychology professor and memory and attention expert. He testified the defense that it was absolutely possible that Ross had left Cooper in the car as a result of a memory lapse and that there was nothing unique about this case as relative to the other cases where this has happened. On cross-examination, Dr. Brewer said that he was not aware of any other cases, though, where a parent had texted, "I need an escape. I love my son and all, but we both need an escape," 10 minutes prior to leaving the child in the car. So, the timing of that text is very interesting. So the trial ran for just over a month. On November 14th, 2016, the jury found Ross guilty on all counts. He was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole plus 32 years. In January 2017, Ross's legal team filed a motion for a new trial with the trial court, arguing that prejudicial testimony, which is about Ross's numerous affairs and sex addiction, quote, made it an absolute impossibility for Ross to have received a fair trial. And that motion was denied, though, in May 2021. In January 2022, Ross's lawyer, Mitch Durham, took the case to the Supreme Court of Georgia. The evidence about Ross's affairs and sex life were non-probative and prejudicial. So, and a lot, to be fair, a lot of the trial did focus on Ross's extramarital affairs, the sexting on the day of the death. So, like, that is, I believe, a solid point.
Mm-hmm.
On June 22nd, 2022, in a 6-3 decision, the court agreed and they found that the evidence regarding Ross's sexual activities was needlessly cumulative and prejudicial. The convictions on the murder and cruelty counts were then overturned. The court's majority opinion said that the state had introduced a substantial amount of evidence to lead the jury to answer a legally problematic question: what type of man is Ross? It said that the case should have been severed and then there should have been separate trials for sex crime charges and then separate one for the murder and cruelty charges. The dissenting opinion said that the state was entitled to introduce in detail evidence of the nature, scope, and extent of the truly sinister motive it ascribed to Ross. So on May 25th, 2023, the murder and cruelty charges against Ross were dismissed. The convictions of felony attempt to commit sexual exploitation of children and dissemination of harmful material to minors remained. In a statement, Cobb County District Attorney Flynn Brody said that after 11-month review, it determined that the Supreme Court's decision would prevent it from relying on crucial motive evidence. And in light of that, they would not retry Ross on the murder and cruelty charges. Ross's attorneys responded to the dismissal by characterizing it as a confirmation of his innocence and also disputed whether prosecution of parents such as Ross deters unintentional deaths. They said, charging a grieving parent for an unintentional memory failure does nothing to prevent the tragedy from happening to another. In fact, child fatalities from hot cars increased after Ross's trial, which was the most widely reported hot car death case in history. So the district attorney lost re-election in 2024 and a lot of the reasoning given for that was the handling of Ross's murder case. And then in June 2024, after this whole legal process went on, Justin was released from prison. So just 2 months ago, essentially, he was released from prison. The whole case is a massive mess. I do agree that he should have had the separate trials, but I can't believe that he isn't being tried again for the murder and cruelty charges.
Yeah, that's crazy for one. But I just, like, I get it and I also don't get it because they were saying his motive was that he was texting all these women. He clearly wanted to leave his wife or, like, live this separate life. So I don't get how, like, it's not evidence. And, like, I do get the argument in other cases of, like, how they were just trying to make him look like a piece of shit that had all these affairs, is an all-around bad person, so that the jury would dislike him and automatically assume, like, yeah, he would leave his kid in the car. But also, like, isn't that still the motive that they're saying. So isn't it still not evidence? You know,
yeah, I feel like 10 minutes before for him to be messaging him, I love my child, but I need an escape. I feel like that is absolutely indicates that he had some type of motive to do this.
And just the fact that he was messing around with all these women and like living another life.
I don't know. I just like I am glad that he did serve a relatively decent chunk of time in prison. I do wish that they were going to retry him. I still am not 100% sure if he did this intentionally or not. I feel like he could have just been a jerk and was totally preoccupied with sexting these underage women, and maybe he legitimately did forget Cooper was in the car, but there is a lot of evidence that kind of points to this maybe being somewhat planned.
What gets me is they were just at Chick-fil-A and it was a 1 mile drive. Yeah. How'd you forget? Because I understand the whole autopilot argument, because there's definitely times where I'm like not paying attention and I'm going somewhere else, but then I just go about my route to like work basically. And so you got that distracted in a less than 2 minute, 3 minute drive that you autopiloted. You were just having breakfast with your kid and you had a fun time, it seemed.
Yeah.
And I don't know, would he have been asleep that fast? Maybe he was quiet. That part's just what gets me the most. The text too, and the fact that, I don't know, like, it's just all, it's just those things I can't really get past.
Yeah, he's an absolute garbage, repulsive person. But I guess the argument is, did he intentionally kill Cooper or not? And there's always the two discussions for each, you know, a discussion for each side.
Yeah, and like I do get if he didn't, he was just such a piece of trash, so preoccupied with his secret life of texting all these underage girls that it distracted him, but it still led to the death either way, where sure, maybe it wasn't first degree murder, but shouldn't he at least be charged with manslaughter or something? Anything?
And I guess that's kind of a good leading into the next case that we'll discuss quickly, because there have been no charges filed in that and people believe there were. But I just wanted to highlight some interesting stats before we move on about hot car deaths. Mm-hmm. So his attorney went on to say, you know, that actual car deaths increased despite this being a super high profile trial, which meant that people should have been more aware of the issue. But in 2023, the amount of hot car deaths for children in the US was 29. So far in 2024, 17 deaths have been reported, and even I believe there's been more since that. So this is probably a month or two old, this data. On average, 37 children under the age of 15 die each year from heat stroke after being left in a vehicle. Nearly every state has experienced at least one death since 1998. In both 2018 and 2019, a record number of 53 children died after being left in a hot vehicle. So this is not decreasing. Like, obviously, 2018 and 19 were record years, but the amount is still high every year. It's still happening, and this year I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being a record year for numbers, because it just seems like it's happening all the time. This episode is sponsored by Noom. If you're like me, you may have seen a lot online about GLP-1 medication. Noom is a leader in behavior change weight loss, and they now offer Noom GLP-1, a compounded semaglutide. Noom GLP-1 is affordable. It starts at only $149. I feel like a lot of people think these type of medications may be out of their reach financially, but Noom offer a very affordable option at $149. For those that qualify, Noom GLP-1 is available and ships to your door in 7 days. Noom combines their proven weight loss program with GLP-1 so that you can lose weight and keep it off, which I know sometimes you can lose the weight. It's always hard to keep it off, but Noom's GLP-1s can really help with that. Noom GLP-1 comes with Companion, which is your guide to better and more sustainable GLP-1 weight loss, which is so helpful.
With Noom GLP-1, you get access to a doctor, a coach, and a supportive community all from within the app on your phone. Ask your care team anything and get support with medication and side effect management. Noom GLP-1 starts at $149 and is delivered to your door in 7 days. Start your GLP-1 journey today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Disclaimer, not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
Yeah, and it's getting hotter and hotter out too. I wonder if that contributes to it. Like, it's way more hot nowadays than it was years ago.
There have been two other cases that we posted about on our Instagram lately. One was where a father left the child in the car while he went inside and played video games.
For three hours.
Yeah, and he's been charged with murder, and there was another. And it's interesting too, when I was thinking about it, a lot of the times this happens, it is the father who leaves the child in the car. Like, don't get me wrong, the mothers do it, but it seems like more and more so we hear about the father doing it. But there was one where the mother left the child in the car and went into the beauty salon for like 4 hours and then came out and the child was dead in the car.
But the other car one that we were just, that you just briefly mentioned, we're not going to get too much into that one. That one's crazy because he knew the kid was in the car. He left the kid in there because they were napping and the car was on, but the air went off. So you're going to tell me for 3 hours you didn't think you should maybe go check?
Like, yeah. I understand people saying, oh, I didn't want to get them out of the car. They were napping and the air was on. But if that's the case, you stay in the car with the kid. Or, you know, if you really have to run inside for a minute, you come out and check on them after a minute or two. Like, it's, you don't, 3 hours is insane. All right. So this is obviously a topic that is going to continue to happen. There's a bunch of different deaths. I feel like a lot of them are all treated differently too, in terms of the charges laid upon the parents. Maybe we'll look to do some more episodes on those type of crimes in the future. But the one that we wanted to speak about just before we finish is not a crime yet. There is much discussion about if it should be. The family is under a lot of scrutiny, rightfully so, I believe. But it's about the death of Tana Rae Robolsky. She was 4 months old and she died on the July 4th holiday weekend this year, 2024. She died from a heat-related illness after she was left on a boat in 121-degree temperatures by her parents. I feel like I'm just converting in my head. I feel like that's about 44 or 45 degrees Celsius, so very, very, very hot. Mm-hmm. Tana's mother is Alyssa and her father is Matthew. Matthew is a police detective, which has caused people to raise a lot of eyebrows in this case because absolutely he should have known better, and maybe people are questioning as to why nothing further has happened with this. But according to the Mojave County Sheriff's Office, at 5:10 p.m. on Friday, the four-month-old baby was transported from a boat to an area hospital for heat-related illness. The child was taken to Phoenix Children's Hospital but died of her injuries. Authorities did not specify how long the child had been on the boat before becoming ill. So as soon as the baby died, there was a bunch of GoFundMes. I believe one raised $50,000 and then it was shut down. And then Alyssa, the mother, actually made another GoFundMe trying to raise money. The fundraiser said, enjoying a family day on the lake turned into the most unimaginable day of their lives. And Alyssa wrote, I will never understand why you had to leave us. You were just too perfect. I love you endlessly and I will look for you everywhere, Angel. So according to the GoFundMe, when she was taken to the second hospital, staff did everything in their power to revive the baby, but she didn't make it. So the parents posted photos of the baby in the hospital. There's a photo of her. She looks like she's got like a neck brace maybe on. You can see blood on the neck brace and on her shoulders.
It was very performative. Like the whole thing is weird, especially since it was such a death that could have been avoided if they weren't stupid.
It wasn't like a car accident, a not-at-fault car accident or something. Like this absolutely happened because of neglect. They even posted photos, like I'm assuming the baby had either passed or was about to pass, and she's wrapped in a blanket. There's blood on the blanket. So this wasn't a peaceful death. This was a horrific, slow death for this baby. Obviously, as we said, there's not much information yet. Detectives have said they're conducting an investigation. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office have said, so maybe some charges will come of this. But people who were in the area at the time have alleged that the baby was left sleeping on a boat for hours alone. I've read up to 4 hours, obviously not confirmed, but that's what is online. Apparently the parents were off the boat. They were swimming in the lake. I'm assuming the baby was asleep, so they maybe left her on there, and then they left her on there for hours and hours, apparently. When they came back to check on her, she had blood coming out of her ears. So that does not happen after 5 minutes. That indicates to me that this child was left alone on that boat for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and just the asking for money.
Yeah, the audacity of it.
The quotes of being like, we don't know why you were taken away from us or whatever it was. It's like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Because that's hot. I wouldn't want to be outside in 120 degree heat, not being able to go in the water or go in the shade or anything like that. Never mind a little tiny baby. It's just so stupid. I don't know anything about babies, and even I would be like, this probably isn't a good idea.
I feel like this case is interesting because I actually don't think the parents meant to harm the baby. I just feel like they were lazy and just didn't so check stupid. On her. Like, so stupid. They, and even like, I'm just, because we posted about it on our Instagram, and there was a bunch of comments. People wrote who knew the family that they'd been taking the baby out on the boat since she was 7 weeks old and kind of doing similar things.
Like 120 degrees is crazy. Yeah. That's so hot.
Especially for babies who cannot regulate their own temperature. Like, as an adult, it's bad enough to be out in the heat like that, but babies can't regulate their own temperature, should never be left alone in heat like that ever. This does not take a genius to know this. This is basic common sense human parenting that they just neglected, and they just clearly didn't check on her for hours. You know, whether or not the 4 hours is how long it was definitely a long period of time.
Yeah, and I think what it might have gotten less hate and been less news if it wasn't for the GoFundMe, because they raised a good amount of money.
And the two GoFundMes, like, after people questioned the first one, were like, do not donate to this. This was caused by their own negligence. And the mother went and made her own GoFundMe again. Like, it's that's just wild, and the audacity of that.
They're just like essentially profiting from their negligence and like incentivizing the death of their child. And they got like originally like, what was it, like $50,000?
Yeah, the first one got
that's
50.
A lot.
Yeah, someone wrote, like, I'm just reading the comments, a GoFundMe page for what exactly? Their own negligence. Someone wrote, they left the baby on the boat while they escaped the heat in the water. Absolutely, like, that is 100% what happened.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think they did it on purpose at all. I think it's just like, how could you be so stupid?
Yeah. Someone said, why are people donating to this family who clearly brought this upon her daughter with their own actions? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I get mistakes are made. This was the mistake of the worst kind, but they absolutely should have not been trying to raise money for themselves for it.
You shouldn't even leave, like, your dog, a pet, an animal outside in that type of heat. Never mind a literal tiny baby.
Someone wrote, I don't even walk my dog in that heat.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there has, like, the baby died July 4th, so just over a month ago. There hasn't been any updates in terms of charges, but they are investigating. I guess, you know, it sounds like there was probably alcohol involved for a lot of the witnesses, so maybe that's something that will drag this out. But, yeah, a very, very sad case. So these are some, I was just looking to make sure there was no updates. These are some of the articles that were posted at the time, the headlines. Mum of baby who died in heatwave lashed. Family who sparked outrage with 50K GoFundMe now facing police investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Which I absolutely agree. They should absolutely be investigated. This doesn't happen to a child in a minute. This is something that would take a while.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep you posted if anything comes of that. As I mentioned, a lot of people are kind of side-eyeing the fact that the father is a police officer.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's why nothing much happened at the start, but it does seem like now there is some type of investigation going on into that one.
Yes. So we will keep an eye out for updates. As always, everything for this episode will be on the blog at truecrimesocietyblog.com. And make sure you're following us on Instagram at True Crime Society. We always post updates there. So any updates with this, we'll post on there as well. If you want to check out our personal pages, mine is StephSum_Olivia's TCS Olivia. And check us out on Patreon too. It is only $4 a month. It's like $43 for the whole year. You get all the episodes without any ads, all ad-free. The main episodes get released a day earlier, and then we also do bonus episodes every week, and there's already like 53 bonus episodes that you would have access to immediately as well. So lots of good stuff on there. So check us out on Patreon. And that's it. The usual stuff. You could share your Instagram stories and give us good ratings. And that's that. So thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Stay cool. They say thanks for listening. I don't know. Peace out.
See ya.